Good morning. I'd like to welcome all you to worship today. Easter morning. The Lord is risen. In the book of Matthew, we read when the women arrived at the tomb, He is not here, for He is risen as He said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Excuse me. And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead and goes before you before in Galilee. Come, see, go, tell. It's just that simple, and that's where we are here 2,000 years later. We greet you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus, this morning worship service. Let's sing from hymn number 180. 180, Holy Bible, valued treasure, I will make of thee my choice. Who can fathom thee or measure? Only He who knows thy voice. I do prize thy holy teachings, and thy promises I claim. I adore thy make beseechings to accept a Savior slain. What were all the world without thee? All in ignorance yet would be. May all those that gladly seek thee soon from evil be made free. May we render sweet submission to the wholesome laws of God. May we learn on what condition life is promised through His word. For our morning devotion today, let's look at the 19th Psalm. He is not only risen, but He's coming again. We'll hear more about that today, I'm sure. But let's look at the 19th Psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. Some of you probably even have it memorized. Think about the words. Think about the testimony as we go through. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day out of speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. God has two great books that are available to us every day. One is His works, and the other is His word. He himself opens every day the book of his works. They are on display. They are very prominent. You can't miss them. They indicate his knowledge and power. The glory of God, it says here, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, that's the expanse, the stars, the moon, the sun, the sky, his handiwork. That's kind of a meager term, his handiwork. We look at that as awesome. Men spend their lives studying the heavens and the movement of the planets and all those kind of things, the celestial truths that God has established. And he opens that up for us every day, and nobody can miss it. The other is the book of his word, his law. You have to open that. If you open that, if you read therein, if you pray for direction, ask for guidance, he will open that to you as well, as clear as the heavens over time. That's the book of his word. It's a nice book, leather bound. Beautiful item on the coffee table. Sits nice in the cupboard with Holy Bible showing to the living room. But it does nothing for us unless we open it. You can't miss his works, but you can certainly miss his word if you don't open it. Day unto day out of his speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice, the heavens, his works, are not heard. Many of you older remember the push for Esperanto many years ago. That's the international language. It's a Latin base. The idea was that all men would have one language. You can communicate around the world. Everyone can understand what was being said or brought forth. The heavens are the Esperanto of God. One language for everyone. His majesty, his greatness, his power, his skill are all on display to everyone on the earth every day. The sun opens the day up, transverses across the heavens, and all feel the heat thereof. Their line or their word has gone out through all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. And then it talks about the sun coming up in the east. We know the sun doesn't move. The earth turns, and it appears that the sun moves. But it comes out of its temple, its chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. He's like a bridegroom. Comes forth, as it were, as anticipation. Work to do, things to accomplish. The sun moves, apparently, to us around the world. And it goes around and then back on the east over here as the earth rotates. In the morning, like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and he rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, over here, over this way, down over there. Tomorrow morning starts getting light again. These things witness the glory of God, their stability, their constancy, their inability to be diverted or changed. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest and summer and winter and cold and heat and day and night will not cease. You believe that? That's what you've seen all your life. And that's what you have relied on in your trades and in your abilities to make a living. Let's go down here to verse 7, 7 to 11. These are about God's Word. Interesting group of names here that represent the Holy Bible. We have the law and the testimony and the statutes and the commandments and the fear of the Lord and the judgments. These all represent God's written Word. It has been preserved for us. We have it. It was written many years ago by the Spirit of God, by different individuals. The Bible says holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And you analyze that a little bit, then we have the pen of God that wrote the Word of God. And God preserved it for us, and we have copies in our home. We have them in our cars. We have them in our pockets. There is no lack of the Word of God in this land for anyone who wants to be there. If you count the Bibles in your home, you would probably be amazed at how many you have. But how many of them do we open every day? How many of us open them every day? We need to read the Word of God every day. That's the food of the spiritual man. That's your diet. That's what's needed. And that's what gives growth. And that's what gives energy. And that's what gives direction. The Word of God. It isn't just, it seems to me like, that's not good enough. No, it's the Word of God. It's the actual instruction of God that comes through the Word. There are six names here that represent the Word. There are six characteristics of each one of these names, and there are six effects that they have on us and on humanity. We start with the law of the Lord. It's perfect, converting the soul. It changes. It turns around the soul. I'm born again. I'm on the road to heaven. Why? Because I changed my mind. That's why. And why did I change my mind? Because of what the Word of God teaches. It teaches that God sent His Son into the world, that He might redeem us, He might redeem me. And it's for me and whosoever will that would come. And I accepted that and I believed that. And I believed that Jesus is the Christ that He sent. And I was baptized as a result of that. And now I look at the words of Jesus, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It doesn't get any simpler than that. It's a multitude and I don't know the word to use, how big it is, the truths of God and the things he has done in regard to our redemption. But they're small enough that we can understand them and we can believe them and we can be a part of that. And it can mean us. Converting the soul, that changes you. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Wise, not smart, it makes them wise. Who are the simple? There are people, those are the people that will simply believe the Word of God. The testimony of the Lord is sure, that's a foundation, it isn't going anywhere, making wise the simple. If we read about this, we'll understand about our own lives. We'll understand about the creation of the world, where it come from. It won't be a bunch of slimy goo or anything like that that you can't identify today. See, if it's scientific and it's true, it goes on today just like it does any other day. Obviously, evolution is a lie. It's the devil's attempt to thwart God again. And he thinks he's good at it, and he is pretty good at it, but we have discovered him because of the truths of the Word that we know. The testimony is sure, making wise is simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Right. It's black and white. The statutes of the Lord are right. This is the statutes of the Lord. You can trust them. They're good. They're real. They don't change. The statutes of the Lord are right. They make us happy. That's rejoicing the heart. I sit down and I have problems maybe or a big day coming up and don't know which way to go. I just open the Bible. Lord, what do you got today? What's the instructions today? What do I need today? Slow me down, calm me down, speed me up, whatever. Take it to the Lord and open His Word. That's the way He talks to us. I don't expect to hear an audible word of the Lord like the Apostle Paul did. Certainly not impossible in God's rendering, but I'm not looking for that. I feel like I can find what God wants me to know within the lids of the book. Statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. That's 100%. No error. Truth is only truth if it's 100%. If it's 1% error, it's not truth. But it says here that the commandment of the Lord is pure. That means it's without contamination. These are the words of God. The Bible will stand. Revelation talks about the books being opened. I feel like this will be one of those books that's opened there at the judgment time in the book of Revelation. God's Word. He set it up. He instigated it. He plans for it to guide us and lead us, convert us while we live, and we will be judged by it when we die as well. Now the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Its perception lets you see, that's better. It lets you see the things that are mysterious in the world that we don't understand. And you see those by faith, by accepting the Word of God as truth, and you hone your life around that accordingly. The eyes of the Lord. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. I think there's an awesomeness factor here. How great God is. And you see this in the Bible. It starts in the book of Revelation with the creation. Comes on down to the Old Testament with the nation of Israel and God's choosing and God's instruction to Israel and God's holiness on exhibition and the distance between God's holiness and a sinful people that chose to walk the other way and how often God intervenes and tries to get these people back on the track and the Word of God is responsible for this as God brings it. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Something that's true and righteous, I would be most willing to be judged by that. That's good. This speaks of Jesus. It presents Him as true. It reinforces Him that He is true. And all those many signs and miracles He did along the way simply show who He is, show His deity, and shows His power. They're true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold and much fine gold. How do you get gold? You dig for it. How do you get the truth of the Word? You dig for it. Because the Holy Spirit wants you to get in here and dig, and He will show you the gold. You will compare spiritual things with spiritual things, and they'll be building blocks. And to this day, and I've read the Bible a few times, I still find things in there that I hadn't seen before. It might be a word. It might be a phrase. And all of a sudden, it enlightens a passage I read maybe many, many years ago. And this is what the Word of God is. It's a continual refreshing acknowledgement of God and His works and His Word and His holiness and His grace and His mercy and on and on and on. That's what we have here. More to be desired than gold. Men like gold, but this is more to be desired and sweeter than the honeycomb. That's our taste. You get experienced in this word, you read the word, it's sweet to you. You know that you're going to get something that you need when you go here. And it will be tailored for you, for your day, for your need, for your questions, for your issues, for whatever. The word will fit that. Moreover, my Amos, thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. And of course, that refers to what's coming ahead, God's great redemption plan, when he comes and he takes us into the heavens to be with him forever and ever. And those in their graves will come forth, and they too, with us, will meet the Lord in the air, and so will we be with the Lord. That's what the Bible says. That's what we're looking for. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. I don't know if that's any one sin. Might be unbelief. I don't know. But anyway, it's presumptuous. It's beyond where it ought to be. We don't have any business delving in sin. That's not for us. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. God will let you know when you went too far. You don't have to worry about it. He'll let you know. And then if you want to go farther, he'll give you that choice. But we don't want to go there. We don't want to break that sweet fellowship. When that fellowship is broken, you've got to mend it again. The son goes out at night, and dad says, son, be home at 11. He comes home at 12. You don't have fellowship anymore. There's going to have to be a time of confession and acknowledgement and realizing that wrong was done, and then that sweet fellowship is restored. It's exactly the same way with the children of God. We want to be kept back from those presumption sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent in the great transgression. In the last verse, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my Redeemer. Now the books have been opened this morning. God's opened his book of his work. We came against the blinding sun coming over here this morning. When the sun is in the heavens, there is no other glory to be seen. The stars are still up there. You just can't see them because of the brightness of the glory of the sun. And that's the way God's heavens are. And God is the same with us. He's up every day. He's waiting. He's watching. He knows every one of us better than we know ourselves. Well, how can that be? Because he's God. That's how. And the Bible teaches us that he is everywhere present, everywhere observant, everywhere powerful. He's with the folks at home up there this morning as they meet for service. He's right here with us. He's in your heart. You can't go any place where God isn't. What a blessed God we have, and what a wonderful acknowledgement. Get into his word and read his truths and study them and grow thereby. Let's pray.